And we began a piece that was primarily discussing the inyan of Kedushas HaBris and Shmiras HaBris, which is something he talks about occasionally. It's obviously something Rabbi Nachman spoke about on more than one occasion. And since this Torah is built on a lot of the Torah of Rabbi Nachman, so it's not surprising to find this type of mimer in his Sefer. But it's a little bit lengthier than most of his pieces. You'll see, usually a piece will take a day, maybe two. Probably going to take us two more days to finish this piece. Okay, but if you remember last time we were speaking about how if a person wants to experience life, a person has to be prepared to kill oneself. What does that mean, to kill oneself? It means to make sacrifices. It means to work hard for things. To be moser nefesh, to give up my pleasures and my desires, to trade in something that's fleeting for something that's permanent. To suppress the guf, to elevate the neshama. Where do we all come from? Who's a common ancestor of the Jewish people? Adam, Avraham. Why are you Jewish? Because your mothers were Jewish, or because you converted to Judaism. Right? If your father's Jewish, that doesn't make you a Jew. So it's very nice that Avraham is, you know, so to speak, the first Jew. He converted to Judaism, so to speak. But if you really trace it back, we come from the first of the Jewish mothers, which is, I guess, Sarah. Who's Sarah's father? Now, these are the chronicles of Terach. Terach begot Avram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. Haran died in the lifetime of Terach, his father, in his native land in Orkastim. And Avram and Nahor took themselves wives. The name of Avram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Yiscah. Yiscah being a code name for Sarah. So Sarah's father was a man by the name of Haran. However, what happened to Haran? Haran died in the lifetime of Terach, his father. What happened to Haran? Yeah, what happened to Haran?
There's a midrash that after Abraham went into the Kushan age, that Haran wanted to join the bandwagon, and he went in with the wrong intention, and so he died.
Right, Haran was also caught between the world of Abraham and the world of Nimrod. And he found himself in a fiery furnace. And unlike his brother Avraham, or Avram at the time, who made his way out, Haran died Akidosh Hashem. So Sfas Emes is an unbelievable thing. Sfas Emes says, where do we all come from? We come from Sarah. You know, Judaism goes by the mothers. Where does Sarah come from? Sarah comes maybe from the first person to ever be Moser Nefesh in the most literal sense for God. For our God, as we understand God. So Sfas Emes says, what do you see from here? You know what you see from here? You see that the shorish of being a Jew is Mesiras Nefesh. That does not mean dying Al Kiddush Hashem, even though we've done that plenty of times through Jewish history. But Mesiras Nefesh, the willingness to make sacrifices for God, Ad HaSof, is the foundation of being a Yid. It's powerful, no? If we all come from Haran. That's where the Jewish people come from. They come from Haran. And Haran died Al Kiddush Hashem. So again, it's a big sugya in general. Specifically when it comes to a person controlling the taiva for Arayos, it's often very, very difficult for a person. And therefore, Yaakov Meir Shechter is describing the title of the piece is Harotza Lechayos Yamis Es Atzmo. If you want to live, you have to kill yourself. If you want to experience true life, the life of godliness, then you have to be prepared to make physical sacrifices to experience that godliness. Okay, and we spoke about how a person who is Shomer the Bris has an ability to, who came from Ephraim, who came from Yosef, had an ability to demand of the sun and the moon and the stars. Because a person who's in control of his nature has the ability to control nature. We spoke about Yosef by Kriyas Yamsuf, Hayam Ra'a Vayanas, the sea saw something and it split. What caused the sea to split? Chazal say, Arono Shal Yosef, the bones of Yosef at Tzadik. Because Mayim is sometimes associated with taiva, and a person who controls his taivas can control water. So Yosef says to these waters in front of him, get out of my way. And Klal Yisrael crossed through. It's an unbelievable thing. It's really an amazing thing. What's today's calendar date?
November 4th.
What day is it in Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan? The 6th of Mar Cheshvan. The Lubavitcher Rebbe put together a Jewish calendar called Hayom Yom. Who's heard of it? You've heard of Hayom Yom? Hayom Yom is a Jewish calendar, starting with Yud Tes Kislev and working through the calendar year. So the Hayom Yom entry for the 9th of Cheshvan, a couple of days from now, is an amazing one. It says in the Hayom Yom that when the Rebbe Rashab, went to the Tzemach Tzedek, and he asked his grandfather when he was 4 or 5 years old, he said, I have the following shaila for you. He said, what's your shaila? He said, it's not fair. He said, I learned in the Torah that Hashem appeared to Avram Avinu. And he was crying and he said, I don't understand. Why does Avram not appear to me? We also feel that way. It's not fair. If Hashem would appear, Vayera, Parshas Vayera, coming up. Vayera, Hashem appeared. Why doesn't God appear to me? Why did Hashem appear to Avram? This little boy, he's crying, 4 or 5 years old, he's crying to his grandfather. It's not fair. Why does Hashem not appear to me? So the Tzemach Tzedek answered that when a tzaddik, when a very righteous person at the age of 99 decides to give himself a bris milah, when a person who's already 99 years old decides to give himself a bris milah, so then he deserves that Hashem should appear to him. I met someone, there was a guy collecting tzedakah in my house yesterday. He told me he got his bris when he was 24 years old. It's a serious mesiras nefesh. How about when you're 99 years old? What the Tzemach Tzedek was saying was that the more a person's moser nefesh for Hashem, the more Hashem appears to you. That's what he was saying. We all want to see Hashem. But until you're prepared to be like a haran and throw yourself into a fire, or you're prepared to have a bris milah at age 99, don't expect Hashem to be so crystal clear in your life. If a person is enslaved to his body, then don't expect his neshama, which is Hashem appearing to him, to have a lot of expression. So that's what we're learning. The more a person controls his physical nature and learns how to control his taivas, the more a person is zoche to see a Kadosh Baruch. Okay? So now let's see two very passionate people and how their passion took them in different directions. Okay? Starting from the top of page Kufhei, V'hinei Roim and Davar Nifla. We see a wondrous thing. Hinei Yaakov Avinu, Alav Shalom, Hochiach es Shimon v'Levi b'Signon Echad. Shimon and Levi were both very intense. You remember the incident with Dinah. How they came to Shechem and they wrecked the place. They took care of business in defense of their sister. And at the time of his patira, at the time of his death, Yaakov Avinu says to Shimon and Levi, both of you have a little bit of an anger problem. K'mashakosuv Shimon v'Levi achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. They stick together. Arur apam ki az. This is Yaakov Avinu's bracha at the end of Parshas Vayechi. Arur apam ki az. Their anger should be arur, should be cursed. Ki az, because it's very fierce. It's intense, it's oz. Ve'evrasam ki kashasa. And their evra also means their wrath. Their wrath should also be cursed. Because it's kashe, because it's kashasa, because it's harsh. Achalkeim b'Yaakov, afitzeim b'Yisrael. Achalkeim b'Yaakov, I will disperse them, I'll separate them amongst Yaakov, v'afitzeim, and I'll disperse them amongst Yisrael. Shimon Alevi, I'm going to spread them out, because when the two of them get together, they can get ugly very quickly. Nu, so what happened to them? So where did they go? Let's look at Jewish history, let's see what happened to Shimon Alevi. They both had a lot of intense passion. Anger. That could be a drive that destroys a person or it could lead to tremendous kedusha. So let's see what happened to them. Shevet Levi, Kishamru Imrosecha Vrischa Nyinsoru. If you look in Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Shevet Levi, at the end of the Torah, Moshe says, Ki shamru imrosecha uvrischa yinsoru. You guarded the bris. Ki shamru masecha. You kept the teachings and you guarded the bris. So what does it mean you guarded the bris? Rashi explains, Shamalu es b'neim b'midbar b'misiras nefesh. They circumcised their children in the midbar with misiras nefesh. They circumcised their children in the midbar with misiras nefesh. Most of the Jews didn't have bris milah. That's why Yeshua did a whole major bris milah in Sefer Yeshua. Because most Jews didn't have a bris milah in the wilderness because they thought it was too dangerous. But who was moser nefesh for bris milah? Who was moser nefesh for bris milah? Shevet Levi. So now we have a person and a tribe that's known for their intensity, their passion, and yet they also have shmiras habris. So what happens when you have a lot of passion, a lot of drive, but you have shmiras habris? Because if you don't have shmiras habris, usually that passion and that drive turns into immoral behavior, right? And sexual drive, and surrender to physicality. But what happens when you have passion and drive, and you're also a person who's in control of his guf, and he's moser nefesh for bismillah? V'lo nitmu b'tumas mitzrayim. What else do we know about Shevet Levi? Shevet Levi didn't work in Mitzrayim. Why exactly that was? Interesting explanations, Rishonim, Achronim, Pnimius, what that was. But Shevet Levi was not enslaved in Mitzrayim. Forget the fact that they weren't part of the work detail. I'm talking about the fact that they weren't enslaved to Tumas Mitzrayim. What is Mitzrayim known for? It's called in Tanakh Ervas Haaretz. It's a place of Arayos. Shevet Levi says we're above that. What does the name Levi mean? What does the name mean? Lamed Vav Yud. What's a Malava Malka? Yeah?
To a company.
Right? When Levi was born, his mother, who was?
Leah.
Named him Levi because she said, now, hopefully, now that I have a chazak of having children with Yaakov, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, now maybe my husband will accompany me, could say better maybe, even attach himself to me. Right? When I accompany someone, I'm trying to say, I don't want to let go of you, I want to be attached to you. Levi is a lashon of dvekus, of being attached. So again, a person who's passionate, and whose very name is attachment, what does he attach himself to? Well, if he has shmiras habris, then he's going to attach himself to God. And therefore, Shevet Levi becomes God's tribe. No? Kohanim and Leviim. Workers in the Beis HaMikdash. They were not attached to Tumas Mitzrayim. They were not subservient to Tumas Mitzrayim. They lifted themselves above Erevas Haaretz. Yes, Yosef Zohar.
I read that Hashem actually named...
Hashem suggested and selected the name for Levi? Okay, could be. Yeah, could be. There's a list in Chazal of, yeah, Levi's on that list. It could be. Okay, so even worse. You see, Hashem chose Levi. Levi chose Hashem, and Hashem chose Levi. So lo nitmu b'tumas Mitzrayim. Have a look inside. V'nitzlu es apam be'evra sam laman kvod shemo yisbara beis maisa egel. And they saved their anger and their drive and their passion. When it came to what? When it came to taking a stand, Mila Hashem Elai. Taking a stand by Cheta Ega, saying we don't want to be a part of this. Uvistalkus Aharon, Uvikinoos Pinchas. We see throughout history, Shevet Levi is always on the front lines of defending Hashem's honor. Valyadei kolzeh lo nikra apar asam shalahem, shiachol alze milas arur, amr aleim Yaakov. And therefore, the curse that Yaakov said, curse, they were able to avoid the curse. You know why? Because they always attach their anger, their passion, to something holy. And therefore, the curse of Yaakov never came true by them. that actually turned into just a Moser Shmuz that helped them to redirect their energies. And there was Zocha to the Bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does Moshe say to Sheva Levi? Baruch Hashem Chelo, Upoel Yadav Tirtzeh, Machat Masnaim Kamav, Umisanav Min Yikumun. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Sheva Levi, Baruch Hashem Chelo, Hashem should bless his Chelo, his resources. Upoel Yadav Tirtzeh, and Hashem should Tirtzeh, should Rotzeh, should want, should desire, should favor the Poel Yadav. Hashem should favor the work of his hands. Mechatz masnayim kamav. He has the ability to smash kamav, the ones who come up against him. He has the ability to smash masnayim, their loins, to chop down their enemies. Loins are usually associated with the makom habris. So Levi, so to speak, because they guard their bris, they're able to strike down their enemies, to hit them below the belt, so to speak. That's what the pasuk means. Machatz masnayim kamav. They strike down the loins of their enemies. They chop down their foes. Umisanav min yikumun. And they chop down sonav, the enemies, min yikumun, from getting up. They don't allow their enemies to get up against them. Of course, by the way, Rashi here in Vizosa Bracha says a lot of this pasuk is hinting to the Hanukkah story. That they were able to defeat the Avanim, an unbelievable upset, a handful of individuals fighting an army of thousands. But Hashem gave them this great strength, because when you have Shmira Sabris, you have the ability to overpower nature. You win battles in an unnatural way, or in a supernatural way. You experience a miracle like Hanukkah, which lasts how many days, of course, for the tribe that's Shomer the Bris? 8 days. Of course it's 8 days. Of course it's 8 days. Of course they're called Chashmonaim. See the name Shmona in their name? There are a million and one hints to Chanukah in this one pasuk. There's a beautiful sefer called Ora V'Simcha, the Rebbe of Baranov. He came from Rupshitz and Jikov, moved to Eretz Yisrael in the early 1900s, spent the last couple of years of his life in Yerushalayim. Sefer is filled with Ramazim. We've learned some of it in the past, on Hanukkah, Lag BaOmer, Purim. He has amazing mamarim. So he has a ton of Ramazim in these psukim. A ton of Ramazim in these psukim. He says, Mechatz masnayim kamav. So he says, Mechatz, to chop down, is merames to the three mitzvos that go together in the context of Hanukkah. What does that mean? The Shiltos of Rav Chai Gaon says a beautiful image of a Jew lighting his menorah. It says, it's 2 days in a row we got a Hanukkah Torah, so let's see if we can keep the streak alive. He says that the Shiltos says, one of the Gaonim, Rav Chai Gaon, writes in his Shiltos, he says that a Jew stands lighting the menorah and he's surrounded by mitzvos. How is he surrounded by mitzvos? He has the mezuzah on his right. He has the menorah, Chanukiah, on his left. And he, the balabayis, is standing in the middle, enveloped in tzitzis. He's wearing his tzitzis, which dalet kanfos, surround him on all sides. So he's surrounded on all sides by mitzvahs. A beautiful image. A lot of questions on that line from the Shiltos, but that's what we find in the Shiltos, and other Rishonim bring it also. That a Jew, b'shas, lighting the menorah, is surrounded by mitzvahs. Menorah on the left, mezuzah on the right, and the balabayis, who is mitzuyetzes b'talis, wrapped in his talis, standing in the middle. Okay. So the Or V'Simcha says, if you look at this pasuk by Levi, which Rashi says is talking about the battle of Hanukkah, nu, what does the pasuk say? You have it on the page in front of you. Baruch Hashem Chelo. Hashem should bless their resources. Upal Yadav Tirtzeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should find favor in the work of their hands. Mechatz Masnayim Kamav. So he says, Mechatz, which means to chop down their enemies. Right? How do we chop down the enemies? With our mitzvos. So he says, Mechatz is merames to the three mitzvos that we just mentioned. Mechatz stands for mezuzah, Chanukah, tzitzis. Mechatz. Mezuzah, Chanukah, tzitzis. And it's those mitzvos that chop down the enemies. Of course, by the way, the Yavanim made a gezeira that you can't have a mezuzah on your door. The Yavanim made a gezeira you can't do bris milah. And tzitzis has a lot to do with shmirah sabris. The Gemara tells the story in Menachos that there was a guy who once hired an isha zona, and he was about to sin with her, and what happened? You don't remember this, Maisa? You heard this story? I'm not assuming you've all learned Menachos from beginning to end, but I will assume you heard the juicy Gemaras in Shas, so those usually come up somewhere along the way to try to inspire our Talmidim, to wake them up a little bit. Yeah, so this guy, he hired a prostitute, and he's about to sin with her, and as he's getting undressed, what does the Gemara say? Right? His tzitzis came, and they slapped him in the face, and he said, what am I doing? I'm a Yid. I can't do this. And he stopped. It could be, I once even saw in a sefer, that when Yosef is battling Ashes Potiphar, which if we had time, I could prove to you took place on Hanukkah. But when Yosef is battling Ashes Potiphar, and she grabs his beged, she was trying to take away his tzitzis. And it says, he left his beged in her hands, and he ran outside. And he escaped. Right? But it could be, it was Dafka the tzitzis also that saved Yosef. Okay? So mezuzah, Chanukah, tzitzis is all one inyan of Shmiras HaBris. And of course, it's the mitzvah of Shevet Levi. It's the response to Aaron HaKohen when Aaron HaKohen says, what? It's not fair. All the tribes got to bring a karban. All the Nesiim, all the different princes brought a special karban. And Hashem says, whoa, Aaron, don't worry. I'm going to give you something which is going to last forever. I'm going to give you the menorah, ba'loyscheh haneros. I'm going to give you a mitzvah that's much better. As Ramban famously explains over there, ba'loyscheh haneros is going to last forever. What do you mean? This mikdash is destroyed. Yeah, but you know what we have? We have the menorah of Chanukah. And Chanukah might be a yom tov that lasts forever because Shmiras HaBris lasts forever. That's the whole point that we're learning today. When you're mekusher to Shmiras HaBris, not only are you more alive when you're alive, when you die, you don't die. Okay, now I'm saying crazy stuff. Tzadikim afilu b'misasam nikru chayim. A tzadik when he's dead is still alive. No? Tell me people who never died. Gemara says Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Yeah? Yaakov Avinu, we'll see in a couple of lines, was a master of Shmiras HaBris. Who else? Who else never died? Eliyahu Malach HaBris. I was at a bris this morning. Right? I heard the mala say, Eliyahu Malach HaBris. This child is placed before you. Who else? There's an opinion in the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu never died. Moshe Rabbeinu. Wow, the Shmiras HaBris of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife. To the criticism of some, but Moshe Rabbeinu is mamish, a goyin Shmiras HaBris. Tzadok writes a lot about it. Why is he called Moshe? He's withdrawn from Mayim. What did I tell you about Mayim? What did Rav Chaim Vital say? Mayim is Merames to Taiva. Our Gemara also says, Ein Mayim Ella Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu turned in, he traded in all of his Taiva for Arayos, he turned it all into Torah. He's Minamayim Mishisiyu. He's withdrawn from water. He's in control of his Taivas. Yeah. I'm sorry, remind me your first name again?
My name's Jeremy.
Okay, Jeremy, let's hear.
I'm wondering, the kind of practical applications in our life of this, because I feel like for many of us, it's been awkward to say, but it's very hard to get to a point of perfection where
right.
We're totally sure as a risk.
That's true.
Can you transform half of nature?
Of course, of course. Of course, this happens to be, first of all, in general, it's an important question to ask in general, and it's an important thing for us to emphasize all the time, as much as we can, right? That it's certainly not all or nothing when it comes to any aspect of Avodas Hashem. Kimat, any aspect of Avodas Hashem. There may be a couple exceptions where we would say, maybe better all or nothing. But for the most part, basically everything Jewish that we do, we'd rather you do a little bit, right? Even if you can't do a lot. And that's one of the biggest tricks of the Yetzirah. One of the biggest tricks of the Yetzirah is, if you can't do the whole thing, why bother doing it at all? If I can't learn all of Gemara, so why even learn one Mishnah? If I can't be Shomer the Bris 100%, so then why win one battle if I'm going to lose the next? And the answer is to believe that every little bit that a person does is meaningful. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? There's a beautiful var from Rav Gadol Eisner. Weinberger quoted last week. What's the mission Pirkei Avos? Beginning one of the Prakim. Who's got a sitter? Cool. Thank you very much. What's the mission? Beautiful vart. Beautiful vart. Second paragraph. Rabbi Omer, Eizu hi derech yishara sheyavur lo ha'adam. Beginning of the second paragraph of Pirkei Avos. What is the proper path that a person should choose? Says the Mishnah, Kol shehi tif'eres la'oseha, tif'eres lo min ha'adam. Whatever is pleasing in the eyes of the one who does it, and is pleasing in the eyes of others. You can't live in a cave in a way that's only self-serving and disconnect from the world. You can't give your whole life to others. You have to strike a balance between what? Taking care of yourself and providing for others. It's a variation on Hillel's statement, Im ein ani li mili, ukash ani la'atzmi ma'ani. Can't be all for myself, can't be all for others. I have to make choices in life that are good for myself and good for others. Teferes la'oseh, pleasing for the one who's doing it, but teferes lo min ha'adam, and it's received well by others. It's a healthy balance. That's the derech yishara that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in this Mishnah tells us about. Just very quickly, as we'll see it in a couple of scenes in the page from now, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is a Gilgul of Yaakov Avinu. Just like Yaakov Avinu's Midah is...
Hi.
Some Ganov stole our Svios check. Tiferes, right? It's okay, we can see without seeing. Yeah, Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, Yaakov is Tiferes. Yaakov is the harmonious blend of Avram and Yitzchak. So too, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi also tells us how to be a balanced person. What is the proper path a person should choose? Has to be a balance between good for you, good for others, Tiferes. Walk the middle path. That's Pashup Shad of the Mishnah, there's a lot more to say about it. Rav Gadol Eisner was a Gera Chassid, a survivor of the Holocaust, never blessed with children of his own, but a great mashpia and a great mashkiach. Rav Gadol Eisner said, here's how I like to read this Mishnah. What is the proper path that a person should choose? Kol shehi tif'eres lo oseh v'tif'eres lo min ha'adam. He said, kol shehi tif'eres lo oseh v'tif'eres lo min ha'adam. Kol shehi, what's a kol shehu? What does the word kolshu mean in Hebrew? Any amount, right? Any amount. A kolshu. Right? So he says, kolshi is teferes losa. Kolshi, teferes losa. Any amount is teferes losa. It's good for the person who does it. Any bit of avodas Hashem is good for you. Yeah, but I do many more averos than I do mitzvahs. So what? Any bit of avodas Hashem is good for you. And by the way, even if you do a lot of averos, that's not a heter to do more averos. That's sort of the other way to say the same thing that Jeremy was asking. Well, what do you mean? I've chosen to be a machal Shabbos. I've made that choice. I don't keep Shabbos. You're still obligated to put your shoes on like a Jew. Right shoe first, left shoe second. Tie the left, tie the right if you have laces. You're still obligated. The Rambam writes in a letter, he says that Yeravim ben Nevat, the wicked Yeravim ben Nevat, who's described by the Navi as Chote Umachti, a sinner, and he causes others to sin. An Avodah Zaranik. He set up Avodah Zara. He didn't just have one eagle, he had multiple eagles. Agalim. He was involved in spreading Avodah Zara. The Rambam writes, Aval Pichain, in the Olam Emes, so you say, like, okay, so Hashem's going to deal with him, you know, with a heavy hand because of all the Avodah Zarah. You know what else Hashem is going to deal with him about? The Rambam writes in a letter, he's going to be held accountable for failing to set up an Erev Tavshilin as well. What do you mean? He has much bigger Averos. I don't keep Shabbos. So what? You still need to make Shahakal on your drink. It's not like, I live with a non-Jewish girl. So what? You still have to wash the right side of your body before the left side when you take a shower, because that's the halacha. It's not like, well, I what do you mean? I already chose to, like, I tapped out. There's no tapping out. Can't quit. So in a negative sense, no matter how far a Jew strays, it's not a heter, it's not permission to stray further. And in the positive sense, kol shehi, any bit that you do, tiferes l'aseh, any crumb of ruchnius is good. Why do I say a crumb of ruchnius? Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap. Remember the story? Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, the contemporary Talmud Chavir of Rav Kook. Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, in the Hebrew biography of that was put out by one of his I think grandchildren or great-grandchildren. So he wrote a story there. He said that my relative, Rav Yaakov Moshe, one time went on a Motzei Shabbos because he heard there was some Hasidish Rebbe who had a special way that he did Havdalah. So Rav Yaakov Moshe wanted to see this Yid's Havdalah. And he climbed up on a windowsill outside his house to be able to look through the window to see how this Rebbe did Havdalah. To see he held the cup this way, or, you know, how he held his fingers when he made Borei Ha'esh, whatever it was. But Imam is like, you know, climbed up on a windowsill to peek through a window to try to see how some. So someone said to Rav Yaakov Moshe, like, what are you doing? You know? You know how to make Havdalah. You probably know even more than how to make Havdalah. Right? It's a mezalzel yourself, you're climbing up on a windowsill to try to peer in this window to see how this guy makes Havdalah. So Rav Yaakov Moshe said, and I love the Lashon, he said, for another crumb of ruchnius, everything's worth it. For another crumb of ruchnius, to be able to make Havdalah with a new kavana, a drop more kavana, everything's worth it. Climbing over walls and climbing on windows, it's always worth it. Kol shehi, for any amount, teferes lo seh. It makes you more beautiful as a Jew. So for sure, a person says, I lose 95% of my battles to the Yitzhahara. Okay, but win one battle. And you start winning battles, and you start winning battles, and hopefully you start to win more battles, and a person becomes not as perfect as Yaakov Avinu or Moshe Rabbeinu or Eliyahu Malach HaBris. You become a person who has a sheiches to Inyanei Kedusha. Right? And you get busy learning Torah, which is the antidote, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah, because he was a Shomer HaBris. Yes, Mordechai, you wanted to say something?
Why would you say Purim?
Why is Purim crumbs? That's the Sod Yashar Mizvart. That a crumb of ruchnias. But why does he connect it to Purim? I'm trying to remember. Purim. The one Jew didn't bow down to Haman. I don't remember. It's from the Sod Yashar. Purim's lashon peirurim. But crumbs. We care about the crumbs in Yiddishkeit. Okay, Chaver, let's go on a little bit more. So far we've seen that Shimon and Levi both had the same starting point, but Levi broke away and found a way to elevate himself through Kedushas HaBris. V'nis'al l'yos mamlechas kohanim. Levi became the tribe that works for Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Yoru mishpatech al Yaakov v'soyeras al Yisrael. V'kam neviyim mufursam v'Yisrael hayu kohanim. That some of the greatest Jews in our history were Kohanim. Jeremiah was a Kohen. Ezekiel was a Kohen. Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Va'od, many more. What happened to Shevet Shimon? Started in the same point. V'ilu Shevet Shimon, lo hemid lo shofet v'lo melech. Shevet Shimon did not produce shoftim. Shevet Shimon did not produce kings. Bishvel achet she'osa zimri. Because one of the most egregious acts of Arayos in history came about from Shevet Shimon. Right? Zimri ben Salu, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, the tribal leader of the tribe of Shimon, was involved in an act of Arayos with a non-Jewish woman in public. And it was his brother's tribe, Levi, Pinchas, who came from Shevet Levi, who stopped the whole thing. Says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter in the next paragraph. Aval Masha Amar Yaakov L'Shimon V'Levi Achal Kein B'Yaakov Afitzein B'Yisrael. And that which Yaakov said, you're going to be spread out amongst the Jewish people. How did that come about? Eitzel Shimon Nitztayer Davar Zel La'aniyim V'Sor From Alam De'Tinokos. Among Shimon it became poor people going door to door collecting tzedakah because they don't feel they have a place. Soifrim, scribes, Malam De'Tinokos, teachers of school children, which in a certain sense is the most chashuv thing in the world, You know, but in another sense, they're saying they never became the big Rosh Yeshivas, you know? As opposed to Shevet Levi, Kohanim Gedolim, Shevet Levi, Trumos, Maestros, Matnos Kohuna, Biderach Kavod. As opposed to the Balamde Tinokos and the Aniyam and the Sofrim, who always need to be supported by the community because they can't make a living, Shevet Levi makes a very mechubedika living. They also get tzedakah, but they get very holy tzedakah. Trumos, Maestros, it's not embarrassing. They don't go door-to-door collecting. You bring your Trumos and Maestros to them. B'derech kavod, like Rashi explains. V'chein v'anina sati l'cha mishmeres trumasi l'mashcha. I've given you the mishmeres ha-truma. I've given you the gift of truma. L'mashcha, Rashi says, l'gedula. It's a sign of great honor to be on the receiving end of trumos and maestros. Shevet Levi. V'chein etztavu b'nei Yisrael l'teis l'levia menachlas achuzasam arim l'sheves. U'migrash l'arim svivoseyem l'vehemtam l'rechusham. And the Jewish people are charged with providing land for Levi, for themselves, for their animals, to provide them with territory free of charge. Again, it's not an embarrassment, it's a sign of honor. Like it says in Parshas Korach, I will be your portion and your inheritance. Hashem says, I got your back. You don't have to worry about paying your bills. I'm going to make sure the money comes to you. And that land which is given to you as a gift, it's yours. It's seen as your land. So Shevet Levi is given a position of chashivus, while Shimon is embarrassed with arayos, struggles financially, can never get it together. Very disappointing, very sad. And they both started off as people with a great passion and great drive and great energy. But if it's not, if without Shmiras HaBris, everything falls apart. V'chein afilu mashamuva b'medrash, bottom paragraph. What we find in the Medrash, on the Pasuk, Yehuda ata yoducha achecha. Yehuda, your brothers will be known through you. Shekol ha-shvatim nekram al-shem Yehuda, as Chazal interpret. We're all called Yehudim. We're called Jews from Shevet Yehuda. Uvechlalis anu nekram Yehudim al-shem Yehuda. Even though, generally speaking, the Jewish people are called by Yehuda, nonetheless, im kolzeh, roem sheshevet Levi nisharu gamkin al shem shivtam umekorim. Yet Shevet Levi is also called by Shevet Levi. Kohanim uleviim lemashcha ulegedula. Right? Even though most Jews are just called Jews, but a Kohen or a Levi, they stand out. They're not just Stam Yehuda. They're not just Stam Yisrael. They have a distinction, even till this very day. Okay, turn the page. Let's do just a little bit more. Top of page Kuvav. Ish Chai, a living person. Let's find out what type of person is truly alive. Misha Mitar Mazache Chasatzon B'Kedusha Sabris, a person who purifies, who refines himself with Kedusha Sabris, right? He's Mazachich, like the oil of Chanukah, Shem and Zayas Zach. A person who's pure and refined, who naki michet, and he's disconnected from this chet, who nikra ish chai. He's called a person who's alive. Hashem is the source of all life. A person who's increasing his kedusha is increasing his liveliness. He's called an ish chai. Vizes sod Yaakov Avinu lo meis. And Rabosai, this is the secret of what the Gemara says in Tanis, Daf Hayamad Beis. Yaakov Avinu never died. What do you mean Yaakov Avinu never died? What it means is, Ki hu haya ish tam. Yaakov Avinu was an ish tam. An ish doesn't just mean a person who's tam. It means an ish in that context means a master of tam. A master of tmimus. Noach was an ish, tzaddik, tamim. Tamim, Chazal say, Noach was born circumcised. Avram Avinu is told what? V'heyei tamim. Make yourself complete. What was Hashem asking him to do? Brismila. Yaakov Avinu is an ish tam. The master of tmimus, that means he's the master of Brismila. The greatest in Brismila. Yaakov Avinu. His sexual purity was the highest of the highest caliber. He's an ish tam. What is tam? Turn the letters around. It's the opposite of mace. Alive. Shalom nifka me'olam. He never sinned. Can you imagine? Yaakov Avinu never sinned with Inyane Kedusha. Never sinned with Inyane Arayos. Never looked at something you shouldn't look at. Never did something you shouldn't do. The highest level of Shmiras Einayim, Shmiras Habris, Shmiras Kedusha. Kumuva Amasha Amar Vereishas Oni. And by the way, it's just the Gemara. The Gemara says that when Reuven is being blessed by his father Yaakov, what does he say? He calls him Reishas Oni, the first of my strength. When Yaakov impregnated Leah, it was the first time that seed had ever left his body. The first of my strength, Reishas Oni. Shalo ra'a keri miyamav. Yaakov Avinu was in his 80s at the time. At the time that he's impregnating his wife. Lo ra'a keri miyamav. V'chein Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. What term do we call him? We call him Rabbeinu HaKadosh. We call him Rebbe. Right? Stam Rabbi. Reish Beis Yud. He's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. But he's also called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Why do we call Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Hu atana aloki Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi hayibisod nishmas Yaakov Avinu. The Arizal writes in many places that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, better known to us as Rabbeinu HaKadosh, right, or Rabbi, Reish Beis Yud, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was, according to the Arizal, a Gilgal. His neshama was connected to Yaakov Avinu. And that's why he's called HaKadosh. Called HaKadosh because if you're a part of the soul of Yaakov Avinu, that means you have Kedusha. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had tremendous Kedusha. So much so that he lifted his fingers up to the heavens at the end of his life. And he said, Hashem, you know that these 10 fingers, even my little pinky, didn't get any pleasure from this world. He was exceedingly rich. He had the finest of foods. But he had Kedusha Sachil and he had Kedusha Sabris. And all the holy things and all the pleasure that was available to him, he never enjoyed it for himself. It was always for Hashem. Much like Yaakov Avinu, who was also a successful person, but only used the pleasures of this world for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We call Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rebbe, Reish Beis Yud. Reish Beis Yud. So much, so many things I want to tell you. I'll tell you one quick thing. The Gemara says that Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was a person who had the highest madrigos of Torah. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, the Gemara says in Chagiga, the holy Tana, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach, quoted here in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach reached the highest levels of Torah scholarship, including Kabbalistic knowledge, to the point that he was able to expound Maisa Merkava, the deep secret of the vision of the chariot found in Sefer Yecheskel. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was on such a lofty level that literally trees were uprooting themselves around him and dancing in a circle around him as he expounded Torah. He was mamish, the highest of the high. But the Gemara tells a story in Maseches Shabbos, at the end of the Masechta, towards the end of the Masechta, that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who in Pirkei Avos, it says, could have outweighed all the other great Tanaim, he was so great, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach went to shtickel off the derech. Remember the story? He went to a place where nice hot springs and good wine and who knows what, right? And he got involved in taivas olam, the pleasures of this world, and he lost all of his Torah. Forgot Torah. Yeah. So much so that when he came back to society, so to speak, came back to the community, they called him up for an aliyah. In the olden days, there wasn't a Baal Korah. You would lay in yourself if you got the aliyah. And he was reading the psukim that describe the Jewish people's entrance into mitzvahs. The first mitzvah of the Jewish people is Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem. And how did he read the pasuk? He couldn't even read Hebrew anymore. How did he read the pasuk? Remembers? He didn't say Achorez Alachem. What did he say?
Hacheresh.
Good. Haya. said alachem, he said libam. Hacheresh haya libam, which means that their hearts were deaf. Cheresh means a deaf person. Right? Instead of saying hachodesh hazeh alachem, the pasuk that describes the birth of Klal Yisrael and ischadshus, he said the very opposite. Hacheresh haya libam. Their hearts were closed up, were deaf, their heart was unresponsive. And it was very much autobiographical. The rabbis davened for him that he should have a refuah shleima, and he got all of his Torah back. But what do you see from that Gemara? You see that a person who chases after Taivas Olam Hazeh, yeah, forgets their Torah. In the deeper Svarim, in the Svarim HaKadoshim, it says that there's a certain koach, a klipa, a sitra achra, a negative force that causes forgetfulness. I'm not a big sugya. So many things. Like realizing more Hanukkah things as we're talking. Yeah? There's a name of a klipa that causes forgetfulness. The name of the klipa is Reish Yud Beis. It's a name. It's a malach. It's a destructive angel. A force. A koach of tuma called Reish Yud Beis. Yeah? That causes trouble. It comes up. We just we're about to meet it in this week's parsha. Avram Avinu is traveling, and Avram realizes that it's not going to work to stick around with Lot. It's not a good shidduch. Vayihi riv bein roei mikne Avram ubein roei mikne Lot. There's a riv, the strife. But riv is that malach, is that koach atoma reshid bis. And of course, where does Lot end up going? He goes to Vegas, he goes to Sodom. Right? When he parts ways with Avraham Avinu, he goes to Sodom. Yeah? So reshid bis has a lot to do with taiva, and it's a klipa that causes shichacha. So the Svarim HaKadoshim explain with Galamukos and so many others, explain, look at the letters that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, look at the letters that he changed. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. What did he change it to? He changed it to HaChiresh Haya Libam. So what letters did he change? He changed Chodesh Dalet to Resh. He changed HaZeh Zayin to Yod. And he changed Lachem Chaf, he changed to Beis. Right? In one of the greatest expressions of Torah forgetfulness in history, the Gadol Hador couldn't read a pasuk anymore. Right? The mistake that he made in the pasuk was Reish Yud Beis. Those were the three letters that he messed up. This is the klipa, this is the malach that causes forgetfulness. But look how the forgetfulness came about. It came about from what? From a person who was pursuing Taivas Olam Hazeh. When a person remembers things, remembering and forgetting is sort of like living and dying. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I could prove it to you a lot more, but we're out of time. But does that make sense on a simple level? No? Does that make sense? Remembering is equated with living, and forgetting is equated with dying. When the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah describes how the shofar wakes us up, stop being so sleepy, sleep is like death. The Rambam says, wake up and remember your Creator. Remembering is being alive. Forgetting is like dead. Yeah. So it's interesting that Yaakov Avinu, who is the greatest in Torah, Yaakov Avinu, who is an Ish Tam, Yaakov Avinu, who is lo meis, is so alive. Yaakov Avinu, right, who's so much connected to the world of remembering, of being alive. That's why we have one strange sugya where Yaakov forgets. And it's a big Chanukah sugya, for those who remember from previous years. When Yaakov forgets the pochim katanim, and he has to go back and he battles Saro Shel Esav, who cares? It was such a big deal that he forgot something? But yes, for Yaakov Avinu, who's the world of being alive, there's no such thing as forgetting. Sfasema says the Torah that you learn on Shabbos, you don't forget. Shabbos, Emunah, Shmira Sabris. I know I'm putting a lot of concepts on the table, but I hope you're connecting some of the dots on your own. There's a reason that when a person has bad Shmira Sabris, they don't feel connected to Shabbos. and they have a lot of Amunah questions. Shmiras HaBris is the greatest expression of our Amunah. Right? Shabbos is a time of Bris. Shabbos, a person feels hopefully more alive the way one should. A person who's involved in Tumah, they don't feel connected to Shabbos. It's a fact. You can't check it against your own life because you're such a tzaddik, so ask someone who struggles with Shmiras HaBris how it impacts their Amunah and it impacts their Shabbos. It impacts their tefillah. Feel like you can't daven. Those are all one, it's all one bechina. It's all one concept. So Shmiras HaBris makes a person alive. It's the antithesis of forgetting. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is the one who organized Torah Shabbal Pefras. The one who was Mesader the Mishnayis. The one who put together the Mishnayis in an organized fashion because Klal Yisrael was forgetting. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wasn't forgetting. What's his name? He's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He's a Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu. And the name that we call him even more than Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and more than Rabbeinu HaKadosh, we call him what? Rebbe. You got it? David got it. Anyone else got it? Rebbe, Reish Beis Yud. He's the Zelu Mazzeh, he's the antidote. Right? Same letters as Reish Yud Beis, but in Kedusha. If Reish Yud Beis is the mouth that causes us to forget, then Rabbeinu HaKadosh is the one who keeps us connected, specifically to Torah Shabbal Peh, which of course is the greatest weapon against Tumah. The greatest weapon, more so than Torah Shebechsav. I can't go into that right now, Rabbi Nachman talks about it. But for sure, Torah Shebaal Peh, when you learn Gemara seriously, it'll be easier to not look at pornography. I know that sounds like, what does one... Mehecha Tesi, one has to do with the other. If you learn Gemara more seriously, you'll have greater success in Shmiras Einayim. I guarantee it. And it goes in both directions. The flow goes in both directions. If you're getting involved in a lot of tumah, you're gonna find it very hard to open the Gemara. But you're gonna have to open the Gemara if you want to get in control of Shmiras Einayim again. You have to. I don't know why Hashem programmed the world that way. That's just how it is. It's Rebbe, Reish Beis Yud, who's the one who's against Reish Yud Beis, that koach of forgetfulness. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechel, let's just finish the paragraph. So he says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh is a Gilgal of who? Of Yaakov Avinu. We call him Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Look what he writes at the end of the paragraph. HaNasi is Rosh Tevos, of course, the Megala Mukos. HaYanitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. HaNasi stands for Haya, or Hu, Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. He's a Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, by the way, is a Gilgal of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, the Nachash, saw Adam and Chava being intimate together, and that's where the Nachash got involved. The Nachash was a pervert. Adam and Chava were doing nothing wrong. The root of all chait is a pagam of bris. Yaakov Avinu is going to come back in the form of Mordechai HaTzadik. Tzadik always means Shmiras HaBris, Yosef HaTzadik. Haman is a Malek. A Malek is Mezalzelin bris. Look at Rashi at the end of the Parsha Kiseitzei. So it's an ongoing sugya throughout history of kedoshim and tzaddikim and people who are really alive versus those who are completely dead. A malek, destroy them completely. No kiyum. Shmiras HaBris gives kiyum, gives life to a person. Extended life to a person. Lachein hu muhtar betoar kadosh. That's why Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is called kadosh. Gam betkufa nalim ma'od ba'am Yisrael, tkufas ha-tanayim. That even living amongst such a generation as Tanayim, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was set apart. Like the story I told you last week when the Satmar Rebbe, sitting at a gathering of the greatest Gedolim, could still say, my opinion matters more because I come from 26 generations of Shomei HaBris. I come from a world of Kedusha. I'm not saying you don't, but I know that I do, in a way that probably most of you don't, not to this degree. And you won the battle. You won the Machlokas. Okay? Last paragraph for today. You ever hear this? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi used to come back to this world after he died. After his istalkus, that means after he died, he came back to his house. B'chol Lel Shabbos. Every Friday night he would come home for Shabbos. It's a Gemara in Ksubis. Umizgal lifneim bebigdei chamudos she'anog lugbos b'Shabbos kodesh ba'od b'chayim chiyuso. And he was wearing his Shabbos finery, the long coat and the shtraimel that he wore when he was alive. Vayemotze as harabim b'kiddush hayom. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was not from this world, came back to this world, and would say kiddush for his family. V'lo kishar meisim ha'chofshim min ha'mitzvos. Not like other dead people who are freed from mitzvos. It's all shaila. Look in the Gilyon HaShas, he says here. Rabbi Akiva Eger's notes on the side of the Gemara, quotes the Sefer Hasidim. A shaila in halacha. How could a dead person make kiddush for someone? He's not obligated. Whoa. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is not a dead person. Even when he's dead, he's not dead. Yaakov Avinu lo meis. But what do you mean? They embalmed him and they buried him, but he's still alive. If you don't understand that, you need to learn more Pnimiyas HaTorah to understand how you could say something that, right, that sounds laughable, but makes perfect sense if you understand what we're talking about here. Va'inin b'zehu k'nemar le'el Yaakov Avinu. V'hainu shagam yisaso lo haisa besug misa stam b'nei adam. Yaakov Avinu's death is not like regular death. As it says in the writings of the Chidah, it's like Rashi explains in Maseches Tanis when it says Yaakov Avinu lo meis, and the Gemara asks, but they embalmed him. It says in quotes, v'chibachinam saftu safdaya, they gave him haspedim, v'chantu chantaya. And they tried to, they embalmed his body. The tzaddikim say because the Egyptians wanted Yaakov to go away. They wanted him to die. But Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Rashi says, even Rashi on the Gemara says, Savurim hayushameis. They thought he was dead. Again, a person who only learns pshat can't understand this. But they buried him. Yaakov Avinu lo meis. David, Melech, Yisrael, Chai v'Kayam. Eliyahu, Malach, Habris. These people are alive. Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know where he's buried, the Gemara says. Because as much as he's buried, he's also not buried. Ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dara v'dara, it says in Tikkuni Zohar. Moshe's presence is felt in every generation. Moshe lives on. Ki ein misasam ella klapeinu. The misa is only as it appears to us. Va'aliba de emes mi shenaki v'tar b'inyan zeh. But a person who has kedusha sabris, ein shayach bo misa klal elohu chai le'olam. Underline it. A person who has Kedusha Sabris is alive forever. And he ends the paragraph by quoting the Chesed LaAvraham, the Chesed LaAvraham of Avram Azulai, who says, so why were they buried? To help other dead people come back from the dead by Tchias HaMesim. As Hashem explained to Moshe Rabbeinu, you need to be buried to help Klal Yisrael to find their way back. But these tzaddikim, they're as alive as can be. Afilu b'misasam kriyin chayim. A tzaddik, even when he's dead, is still alive. So Rabosai, if we want to feel life, so often people struggle with this type of tumah because they want to feel alive. And people think that if they're just involved in more sexual activity, then they'll feel more alive. And Chazal said, yes, sexual activity is something that permeates a person from head to toe. It's a full body experience. But at the same time, if it's not done by Kedusha V'tara, it leaves a person feeling more dead and more empty than anything else. So we should continue to work on this inyan. Again, it's a delicate inyan to learn about, to talk about. It's obviously a delicate thing to think about. But it's important. It's really important to try to work on inyanei kedusha, especially in our world today, which is so immoral in this way, and so in your face, the way society has turned sex and anything that's associated with it into something that is just so perverted and so corrupt and so far from the holiness of the intimacy that the Torah wants a husband and wife to be able to enjoy together. It's just so far, and we have to continue to fight this battle. And the coming of Mashiach is very much connected to it. So Hashem should give us the strength to be Jews who are truly alive. Yehuda, what do you want to ask or say? For sure.
Is it one concept?
Yeah. It's Shmiras Einayim, it's Shmiras Halev or Hamachshava. It's all one concept. When the Jews went into Mitzrayim, when Yaakov, in quotes, died, right? A parsha that's surprisingly called Vayechi Yaakov, and Yaakov lived, right? But the parsha that describes the descent of the Jewish people into Mitzrayim, it says that when Yaakov dies, Nistamu Einayim V'libam Shel Yisrael. The eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people got closed up as they went to Mitzrayim. What does that mean? It means when you go into a place like Mitzrayim, you need to close your eyes, guard your eyes. You need to close your heart. Heart in, you know, we would translate heart as like the seat of our emotion, which is also true, but in a more, you know, medieval translation of it, heart is synonymous with brain. Right? Chovas halavavos means the duties of the mind, not just the feelings of the heart. Right? But it means, when you go into Erevas HaAretz, you go to Mitzrayim, you need to guard your eyes, you need to guard your thoughts. And like Chazal say, the mind thinks, or the eye sees, the heart desires, and then the body acts upon it. So there's no question, it's all one sugya, Shmiras Einayim, Shmiras Halev, Shmiras HaMachshava, Shmiras HaBris. Right? Any of the things that will lead to immoral activity, it starts with guarding one's one's thoughts and one's eyes, one's emotions. Lo pashut. Okay, Armando, you waited a long time. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. What is it exactly? It's not using one's bris milah for anything that's not permitted. It could be a person who wastes seed. It's not zara levatala. A person who sleeps with someone who's not permitted to him. It could be a person whose body becomes aroused, even if it doesn't lead to any hotzah zara. So any misuse of a bris milah, other than for what the Torah says, pervu, or a permitted relationship between a husband and a wife, any sexual activity, right, that involves the bris milah, or anything related to arayos, right? Anything related to this. Holding your girlfriend's hand is also a pagam in Shmiras HaBris. It's also a pagam in Shmiras HaBris. Because again, it's related to, again, the reason that there's a prohibition to hold your girlfriend's hand, whether rice or derabanan, which we could debate, right? But the reason there is such a prohibition is because, okay, obviously, in a normal, right, in a normal framework, right, there are certain acts of expressions of physical love and expression, obviously before it leads to intimacy. Right? So anything that leads to, again, a forbidden relationship is included in a pagam in Shmiras HaBris. It's a failure to guard the bris. Yes.
Mm. The
right, that Moshe didn't give the bris milah, right?
So,
that's a good question.
And then we also just saw that the case with Yaakov, where he forgets once. So
right.
Is there like a trend where like you see like sort of a character book where like you need to have that like mistake that's like already happened before or whatever?
That's terrible. Sorry.
And then.
Thank you, Jim. Sorry.
Or I guess like it shows that like
tzaddik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechta. There's no tzaddik in the world who doesn't stumble. L'fi madregaso, So our forgetting leads to forgetting Hashem and pretending God's not in the room and doing averos. And Yaakovinu's forgetting is that he forgets pachim katanim. So yeah. But the pasuk says there's no tzaddik in the world who's always perfect and doesn't sin. Moshe Rabbeinu and Yaakov Avinu are not on the list in the Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Nun Hey, of people who never did averos in their lives. So, even tzaddikim stumble, even tzaddikim make mistakes. So, we should, I guess, be comforted by that, to know that it's okay to not be perfect. I hope we know that.
Do we see the case with Eliyahu, that he also stumbles with...
Not sure. Could be. Not sure. All right. Hashem should protect us.